Okay. We are in the very, very first couple of verses of James here. And last week we were looking at, we began looking at three statements from James's wisdom about facing hardship. And the first statement that we spent our time discussing was that hardship is inevitable. Okay? We're going to face difficulties. And remember that James, in verse 2 of this, says, consider it all joy whenever you face trials. Okay, so it's not an if situation, it's a when situation. It's not if you're going to, if you face trials, but it's when you face them, meaning that it's going to come. You're going to have to face those. And then also, notice that he says, of many kinds. So it's not just any one particular kind of trial or struggle or tribulation we're going to face. It's many kinds. Trouble comes in all different kinds of forms. And so we're going to face those. And we talked a lot about the contrast of what a lot of people are teaching today and saying about hardship and difficulty versus what the Bible actually says about it, and the idea that you know, there are those out there who say, well, you know, if you just give your life to Christ and you be a Christian, then you know your life will be grand, you won't have any problems, and you know, life will be merry, and you know, God wants you to, you know, name it and claim it, and you know, all these kinds of things. But yet the Bible tells us that we are going to suffer, we're going to struggle, we're going to have hardships and difficulties. So James starts this out, this letter of wisdom to us, to let us know that, first of all, yes, if you're breathing, you're going to have problems. Okay, hardship is inevitable, it's coming. The second thing, the statement that we want to look at, is that joy is always possible. Okay? Now, those two statements kind of almost seem contradictory, don't they? You know, on the surface, hardship is inevitable, but joy is always possible. So the question that immediately comes to mind to a lot of folks is, okay, wait a minute, if I'm going to be facing a lot of hardship in my life, how am I supposed to always have joy? Okay? And the way that James writes it here is, he says, consider it pure joy. Okay? Whenever you face trials of many kinds. And so, you know, how do we reconcile that? And what is James really telling us? What's his wisdom here about facing trials and considering that your joy is his point that we're supposed to be, you know, just jumping up and down with happiness and enthusiasm because we're facing whatever kinds of problems or trials or tribulation that we're facing? Or is there something else behind all of that? I think that we begin by looking at and think about this particular statement. Trials are the norm. Okay, according to what James is saying, we're going to face them. They're inevitable. That's normal. Okay? But responding to those trials with joy is not the norm. Okay? So you say that again? Trials are the norm. They're normal. Okay? But facing or responding to those trials with joy is not the normal thing to do. But yet, that's what James calls upon us to do. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. So, to count it all joy, as he says here, what does that refer to? What, you know, what is he really trying to get us to understand? He says, count it all joy when I'm facing these things. And I think more than anything, it refers to how we perceive what is happening to us and how we choose to respond to those trials. Yes?
I have this one. The eyes of children, the elderly people that have such high taxes, with much prayer, I would want to pray. If you got it in place, it's done. If you got to get it, get into it, accept it. Then you got to engage it. If you got to go through it, there's no way around it, you know. You have to go through it. So if I have to go through it for you, then there comes a time when my life is changed. I have not fallen to my husband. You just got to let it go. You know, you can't keep dwelling because you were taking over with it soon. And then I let God change me. And I move on.
Okay.
That's what this means to my baby when I have problems. Because we're all going to have it. It's worth it.
Okay. And, you know, I think that's right in the sense that really what we have to do with the trials and the tribulations that we're going to face, that we are facing, is we've got to learn to master those circumstances, those situations, rather than allowing them to master us. Okay, that's one of the most important keys to it. Because, you know, again, you think about what James is saying here. Consider it pure joy when I'm in the midst of these trials that I'm suffering, okay? And keep in mind that when James is talking about trials of many kinds, he's not talking about, you know, I broke another fingernail, you know, and so, you know, it hurts, okay? He's talking about important stuff here, okay? And so, whatever, yes? Absolutely, and Peter talks about that also. You know, there. Again, keep in mind that he talks about trials of many kinds. They're going to come in all different forms. The issue is not what we're suffering. What kind of suffering, or the fact that I'm suffering again. Okay. It needs to really be a focus of how am I going to respond to whatever I'm dealing with. Whatever the source of that trial or problem or suffering is, how am I going to respond to that? Okay? And it really comes down to a matter of choices that I make in my life. Okay? And so if I'm suffering because of my faith, and maybe I'm, you know, I lost my job, or I've got people and family that won't talk to me anymore, or whatever the issues are because of my faith, persecution because of that, okay, I have a choice. How am I going to respond to that? Am I going to give up my faith, you see, so that I don't have to suffer anymore? Or am I going to consider the fact that I'm suffering for the cause of Christ as a badge of honor, so to speak? And be glad that I was able to suffer for the name of Christ, you see. But again, it may be the other things that I'm suffering with and struggling through the trials that don't really have as much to do directly with my faith other than how I respond to them. Okay? But it's a matter of how do I look at those and how do I respond under those circumstances. And so we ask a question here to consider in this. What's the difference between how two people face the same hardship differently? You know, you got two people that are in the same circumstance, the same situation. They're dealing with the same issue, but yet each one deals with it very differently. What's the difference as to why one deals with it with perhaps this joy that James is talking about, and the other is just completely overwhelmed and discouraged and so on and so forth?
One has hope and one doesn't.
Okay, all right.
You know, one does not know
And it's not only that, but that hope also allows me to look at it and go, this is not going to be eternal. I think that one of the reasons why we get so frustrated in dealing with stuff that we have to deal with is that we look at it and we don't see how it's going to work out, you know, good for us. We don't see how it's ever going to end. We don't see, you know, we don't see an end to this problem. And we get hopeless. And I think as long as we look at it in the perspective of this world, then, yeah, it's probably not ever going to end as long as you're alive. But once you die, where's that problem going to go? Certainly not going to go with you as long as you're in the Lord. You see? And so, you know, again, it's how do I look at those circumstances? And how do people look at them differently? And what makes that difference? And hope is certainly one of those major things. But
I just wanted to say, you mentioned a joy earlier. Another thing, you know, when you go through trials and tribulations, the joy comes in the morning. That is so true. Because without, there is a cycle of a song by Frankie Beverly and Mays. He said they had a song called Joy and Pain. He said you can't have joy unless you have the pain. So that means a great deal. And we have to look forward. We really almost need to look forward to a little pain so we know how to deal with it and help others that also go through something similar. If you've gone through it, you can have to, oh man, come on man, you can overcome this. And we're very fortunate to have God Jesus our mediator. God is our Father, and I'm just so thankful that I can go to Him. That helps a lot.
And the perspective that we face it in makes all the difference in the world. Think about it this way. You have, you know, and perhaps maybe you've been there. Maybe you know people in this kind of situation where, you know, there are some people who face extreme difficulties in their life, yet they face those with joy. While there are other people who face, you know, minor things that go on and they fall apart.
You know?
Exactly. You know, it's our attitude, and in a lot of ways, it is a decision or the choice that we make regarding how we look at our circumstance and our situation. So we go back to that whole issue of choices. Okay, we make choices. Does that make, you know, the situation necessarily better? No, it's a bad situation. But I have to determine, am I going to allow this situation or circumstance to, you know, just totally tear up my life and discourage me and, you know, run me into the ground? Or am I going to, you know, from a personal standpoint, rise above this and not allow that circumstance or situation to own me?
As individuals, mother, husband, people in general, we take too much upon ourselves.
Right.
You know? And you got to have a cutoff. You got to know when enough is enough. You know, you can't carry everybody's burden on your shoulders. You can't be everything to everybody.
Right.
You have to
do that. Right. That's true. So, you know, that sometimes has to do with how are we dealing with whatever the situation is. But you know, I think that a lot of times we have people who take, you know, molehills and make them into mountains. You know, this huge obstacle that's, you know, in other words, I think one of the keys is keep it in perspective. And if we choose to take everything and then make it a big disaster in our lives, then it's really easy to get overwhelmed by all the disasters, because everything you're facing in life is a disaster. And it really doesn't have to be. But having said that, the other side of it is that, yeah, there are some things in life that are disasters. There are some things that are really tough stuff we got to deal with. Okay? But again, it's how we choose to deal with those things that determines what the outcome is going to be in terms of us. You see? It doesn't necessarily change the circumstance of the situation, but it can change our outlook and how we deal with it. Okay?
I kind of went when I had to go through difficult times, there was always a go-to person I could go to.
Okay.
And that was Christ. And I always remember that God made that promise. He won't give us more than we are able to bear.
Amen.
And so when you remind yourself of this, then comes the next phase. And you mentioned it already. This will not last forever. You know,
amen.
I don't have to go through this by myself. Yes, I have times I break down and cry, but I don't stay there. I go on and take it to get to Christ and just leave it. Deal with it the way you best can, and then just leave the rest to Him. And I think those will be the times that change you. You know, God has a purpose why you go through these difficult times. It either changes your perspective of the situation, either that or it helps you grow spiritually. There's always a good part to the hard
times.
Yeah,
James,
and that's
where,
for me,
here,
joy comes in. You know.
Well, and I think that, you know, as we look at the different things that we're dealing with, one of the major issues, because again, you know, you're talking about, yeah, I might cry for a little bit or what have you. I think as James says, consider it pure joy. Again, first of all, it's not the issue of, you know, oh, wow, great, I'm so glad that I'm having this problem in my life, and I walk around with this artificial smile on my face trying to make people think that everything is good. That's not his point. That's not what he's telling us here. You see? And it's not that, especially initially, whenever we find ourselves having to deal with this issue, whatever, is it gonna frustrate us? Are we gonna have to... Yeah, it might take us a little bit to kind of get ourselves, you know, oriented and to really get it in its proper perspective. So it's not where James is telling us we got to walk around with this big happy smile all the time, you know, and you know, like, oh, yeah, I got problems, but boy, life is grand, isn't it? You know, kind of thing. That's not what finding joy in all these things is about. And I think the thing that might help us to really understand that is, think about this particular question. What is the difference between happiness and joy? Or is there a difference between the two? Notice that James says here, consider it pure joy. He does not say, be happy. What's the difference between, or is there a difference between happiness and joy? Okay.
I don't know why, but when I took my thought about it, I'm happy about a lot of things, but when I'm joyful, it's just the stuff above happiness. It's more
okay.
Something that just more intense than just being happy.
Okay. All right. Happiness really is, it's basically an emotional response to our circumstances. And that's why happiness comes and goes. Okay? When my circumstances are good, I'm happy. When my circumstances aren't good, I'm sad or unhappy. Emotionally, that's how we typically respond to things. That's why if I'm faced with a bad situation, I can find myself crying. Because emotionally, it's upsetting to me. And when something really good is happening, then, you know, the smile's on there and life is great and, you know, I want to jump and shout and share it and all those kind of things, right? That's emotions. Joy, on the other hand, is a condition or an attitude of the heart Therefore, it does not depend on our circumstances. That's the big difference between happiness and joy. Okay? Now, another difference between the two is most of us, I mean, let's be honest here, most of us think that we deserve to be happy most of the time. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay? In other words, we live a major part of our life, you know, based on happiness. Okay? We make major decisions based on our degree of happiness. I'm not happy with this, therefore I'm going to do this. And we do that based on, you know, whether we're going to stay in a marriage, whether we're going to stay in our house. We go, I don't like this house, I'm not happy with it, I'm going to go buy another one. You know, our car, how often do people buy new cars? Because they're no longer happy with the one they have, you see? So, you know, we do a lot of things based on whether or not we are happy in this situation. Okay? Sometimes we make bad decisions because we're not happy. Because we don't really understand what joy is all about. You say, and we don't really understand oftentimes what the real source of joy is and needs to be in our life. Whenever we allow circumstances that we are faced with to determine our joy, to either give it to us or take it away, you say, then we're certainly not going to be happy very long. And so James, again, is not talking about happiness here. He's not talking about the temporary emotional response that we have to any given situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. And again, I think one of the key words there in understanding that is temporary. Okay? Happiness is temporary. It's an emotion. Okay? Joy is a deep, heartfelt feeling in there. It's a response to, even in the midst of difficult things, how we choose to respond to whatever is going on. Joy does not and will not allow those circumstances, good or bad, to determine how we actually feel. And again, we're not talking about temporary, we're talking about over the long haul, okay?
I kind of relate joy also with peace.
Okay.
Because when you have inner peace, no matter what the situation is you're in, you can find that inner peace. You have the joy, you know, of it. How much inner peace do you have when you go through these situations? You know, are you going to let them overrule you, make you fearful, or whatever, or do you find peace and still be able to glide through this?
If my circumstances are determining, you know, my deep emotions, then I'm not going to find joy. It's going to be last. Why? Because I'm going to face trials of many kinds. See? So I'm going to be constantly, sometimes I'm going to be up, sometimes I'm going to be down, sometimes I'm going to be up, sometimes I'm going to be down, back and forth. You see? Happiness, that's how happiness works. And I think that's how God intended it. It's that emotion of happiness. Right now I'm really happy because this is a good thing happening to me and I'm really happy right now. But that's not lasting. Joy can last through whatever the good or bad that I'm facing in my life.
There are joy
stealers.
Some people that do not want to see joy. But everybody got to find their own.
Well, I think that you're right in that there are people who try to steal other people's joy. But I would suggest to you that they can't steal it unless you let them have it. You got to be willing to let them come in and take it from you. And if you're not willing to let them take it, again, that's a circumstantial thing. Right? You know, okay, I have my joy. No, I'm not going to give it to you. It's mine. You can't have it. You know, kind of a thing.
See? When you're in God's hands,
Anybody can take you out of God.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Now, notice that as he goes on with this, look at the first word in verse 3 here, okay? Now, he said, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why should we consider it pure joy? Because, he says. Because what? Because what? Yeah, because you're going to benefit from this. Okay? And somebody was talking about that a little while ago. Whatever we're facing trials of many kinds, there's going to be a benefit from this trial that you're facing. You see? So it may be, you know, you're looking at it right now, you're in the midst of the storm, and you're going, well, what am I going to do here? But if you keep in mind the because part is, this is going to help you in some way, somehow, and we may not be able to, I think that's why we get so, you know, maybe fearful or whatever. We can't figure out how this is, oh, okay, yeah, it's going to help me. How is this going to help me? No. We don't see it at that moment. Sometimes it's not till way afterwards that we're able to look back on and go, yeah, you know, I'm glad I did go through that because not only did it help me, but I'm able to help other people, as you said earlier, you know. So there is a benefit from that. And so the word that is used here, the word for, or some translations because, that speaks of the reason that we should find joy in our difficulties. So he's saying, you know, whenever you're faced with difficulty, you need to be joyful in that. Because that circumstances that you're in, even however difficult it is going to make you better. It's going to make you stronger. You see? One of the things that I try to teach people, you know, in counseling and dealing with crises, and you know, you think about difficulties and hardships, that certainly fits into category a lot of times. How do we deal with crises in a positive manner? Okay. Well, one of the tools to doing that has to do with, first of all, how do we view the crisis? We talked about that a moment ago. We don't let it get too big. We don't keep it in perspective. But the other thing is that we look at it and realize that I'm not going to try to just survive this crisis. Okay? The goal needs to be, I want to be stronger having gone through this crisis than I was before it occurred. If I'm not, then that crisis has been wasted on me. Okay? Think about it that way. Mm-hmm. Whatever the hardship that I'm dealing with, if I don't become stronger having dealt with it, then it's been a wasted effort. And I think that's what James is trying to get us to see here. That trial that you are going through, you see, it's there, and it is going to be, it's a test of your faith, and it's going to develop perseverance. And so it's a faith builder for us. So it should make our faith stronger. And we should look at it as a learning or growing opportunity. Which, how often, let's be honest, do we look at the situation as that kind of thing? We tend to look at those things, what? As a woe is me. You say, why me, Lord? Okay? Why am I having to deal with this? Why am I being punished? Or what are all of those kinds of things that, you know, Satan finds a way of inserting in there, doesn't he? Okay? Where if we will look at it from the standpoint of realizing that, yes, my faith is being tested. Okay? And so therefore, I have the opportunity in this to grow from this experience. I think I've told you this. I'm sure I've told you this before. I don't know if everybody was here, so I'll tell it again. You know, the whole the story about the lady that was going through the tour of the silversmith. And, you know, as they're going through and they're watching the silversmith in there heating up the silver. And the tour guide is explaining to them the whole process. They heat the silver, and the reason that they heat it is to be able to burn off all of the impurities out of the silver. And that's how they get the silver to be more and more pure. They keep putting it in the fire, and the more fire it gets, it burns off. But you have to do it a little bit at a time. You can't just stick it in there and leave it, because then you'll ruin it. So you put it in a little bit, you burn off a certain amount of that dross, and then you take it out and let it cool, and you put it back in, you heat it back up again, and you burn off more, and it's a process. And the tour guide was saying that, you know, it's all a matter of trying to burn off, you know, all of that, as much of that dross or that impurities out of it as you can. And the lady on the tour said to the tour guide, said, Well, how does the silversmith know when to take it out of the fire? And the guy said, when he sees his reflection in the silver, then he knows it's ready. And so, you know, you think about that, we're tested. We're put into the fire. These trials of many kinds. And we have to face them over and over again, because each one of those is burning off more of the dross or the impurities out of us. And so, when will we no longer have to face any trials or tribulations? When God sees His complete reflection in our lives. So, we're going to face those. But it is to help us to be stronger, to be better. Okay? Look at what Paul says. Let me get somebody to turn over to Philippians 4 and read verses 10 through 13. Who's got that? Linda, go ahead.
But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful that ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
And Paul wrote that when? Where was he? He's in prison. Okay? And he wasn't in, one of these federal correctional institutes, that they refer to as country clubs. So Paul says, look, I've faced it. I've learned, he says, the secret of being content. What's the secret? What's talking about? He says, I've learned where my strength comes from. That's part of the secret. It's not me. Now, if I have to face this stuff alone, okay, that's going to be bad. Okay? That's going to be bad. And I try to face it. I face it realizing that my strength comes from Him. That's good.
Too often we wait too long before we go to God.
Okay.
We face tribulations, and at least with me, I find 90% of the time, your mind goes everywhere, it's chaotic, until I'm down on my knees with God, one-on-one, and then the peace comes. Because it's not, he didn't say, I give you these tribulations and you got to deal with them on your own. He said, I'll be there with you, but you got to ask Him to help you.
Remember who the silversmith is. Who's the one that's holding the silver over the fire? You see? He's watching all the time.
Some years ago, my sister bought me a beautiful wooden ball sack to see if purchase. I'm like, and I was just looking for 13. And so I took it to my office and it's up high. And then I moved my office. I said, you gotta get my sack from up there and me, and I found it in the post office and set up a piece of it. And it's still up high. And a couple of people have come in and you know, they will say you're looking up because there is so much going on in that office that I just want to explode. But I'm looking up at them. I have it over the door on purpose. I have them to place it there because I got to look up. I cannot continue to stay or you get cut off and in it.
Good point.
Bless the words. The word struggle is tolerated. We need to glorify God by trusting Him for this next step. It's an opportunity to glorify Him, and that's our struggle, to trust Him, to build a relationship with Him. And we can look back and see His strength in our lives and once we make it through. Again, it's, I don't want to mess that up, but I do. I can mess it up or I can do it by me. That's an opportunity. Because when you see the Father, there you know that that's good. An opportunity to make our Father proud. Don't worry. This will be
another chance. Well, and that's what I was going to say is that, you know, one of the things we have to understand is that each thing that we deal with, each trial or struggle that we deal with, you know, as we go through that, it makes us stronger so that we're ready to deal with the next. And I think that's part of what James, you know, wants to understand is we're going to keep on facing them. You see, it's not like, wow, this is the worst thing I ever had to face. I sure hope I don't ever have to face anything worse than this in my life. Well, chances are you will. But because you went through this one, you'll be better prepared to handle the next one that may be worse. Okay? Because each thing that you go through builds you stronger. Okay? And so by the time you go through the next one that, you know, on the surface may look like it's worse, it's really not worse than the other one, the previous one, because you're better prepared for it. You know, but if you weren't prepared for it by the previous things, then it would be worse. It'd be overwhelming. Okay? So each one helps prepare us for the next one. I know, you know, in my past in ministry, years ago at a church we were at, you know, I went through, in my opinion, one of the worst things I've ever had to deal with in ministry. It was just bad. There was just, you know, it's like, okay, where's the joy in this, okay? And what's the purpose? But, you know, left from that church, went to the next one, and found myself dealing with the exact same problem. Had I not gone through it the first time, I think I'd have been overwhelmed. But when the second one came along, hey, this ain't the first rodeo, folks, okay? I know how to deal with this one. And so, you know, that's how they work. You know, sort of to make a promise, right?
I've been with all this time before. I've been in the school. I'm looking at Acts 9 and verse number 15. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, God, I call him, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Paul suffered a lot.
He was shipwrecked. As a result of that, he didn't have service.
Was he back?
I mean, a lot of things this man went through. So in the beginning, he had to escape in a basket. He had to lower him down. Because they were his own people, but wanted to get rid of him. And Paul, if anybody knew anything about a little bit of suffering, was Paul. So he said it because he could write these letters.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful for the man I want you to.
And that's when Paul, by the way, really in all of his hardship, became a basket player.
Yeah.
Anyway, real quick.
Rick told me something at one point when I was going through a difficult time. He said, the closer you get to God, the more Satan will pursue you.
Oh, yeah.
And this stuck with me. So why are we then surprised as Christians if we have difficult times?
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
you know,
and as we saw last week, Peter says, you know, why do you look at these things as if it were something unusual happening to you?
Exactly.
Let me say this, and then we'll pick up here next week. You know, when he talks about this idea of testing or what have you, or proving, we need to make sure we understand that's not testing or proving in the sense of that it's evidence testing our mettle as a Christian, so to speak, but rather what it is, it's that is making us stronger. So when it says testing, it's not like, okay, let me do this and see if I fail or pass this test in my faith. It's testing or proving from the standpoint of, as we said earlier, get the impurities out to make us stronger. That's what the testing or proving is really all about. Okay? God uses the hardships that we face in our lives to make us better. And that should bring us joy.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, next week we're going to talk about steadfastness being invaluable. All right? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.